Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Grace Podcast. I'm very excited to be able to share with you what I believe is the most difficult concept for Christians to understand. It's such a difficult concept for non-Christians to understand, the idea that God would send Jesus to die for us and pay the penalty for our sin, and all we had to do was to believe. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So think about that verse as the fundamental, foundational verse to understand grace. So grace is God's favor, God's unmerited love, where he loves you so much that he provides a way of escape, and the way of escape is to believe in him. So we need faith to believe that Jesus is the way. Jesus is grace. Remember in John 1:17, it says, "The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus." Jesus is grace. When you get Jesus, you get grace. Remember that. Now, so when I believe in Jesus, and like Romans 10:17 says, with our mouth we confess and with our hearts we believe and we're saved. So we believed that the grace that God offers, that is belief in Jesus as the Savior, would transport us out of a life of darkness and sin and death to eternal life. And like I shared on Sunday, it's the idea that grace is the transport system. It's what moves you from darkness to light, from eternal death to eternal life. But I have to believe. So just like the helicopter transports me out of the jungle, but I have to believe that it's going to fly and it's going to work. And when I hop on board, it carries me. So grace carries us. Faith allows us to be carried by the force of grace. And so we need to realize it's not of works, and this is what's difficult for most religious people to understand, is we have to, you know, we're so filled with the system of the world, the performance system, which we'll talk about later, that we want to do good to get good. We think do bad, get bad. Everything's about performance. It's about cause and effect, but that's not how grace works. And so before you became a Christian, you thought about the big things in life, things like, I wonder if there is a God. I wonder what happens when we die. And you may have been with people that passed away, and those big questions come to us in the quiet moments of our lives. And so when Jesus comes into our heart and we believe that he's the transport system, that by believing in him, we experience all of God's salvation, power, and favor, things change in our lives in the most remarkable of ways. And what Matthew 11 tells us, it says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's two types of rest, or there's the one type of rest, but you get it two ways. There's salvation rest. That's where those big questions are answered, where those big questions about the future, about life itself, about eternity are answered. And I don't know about you, but when I got really saved as a teenager, those questions went away. I don't think about what's going to happen to me when I die. I don't think about if there's a God or not. Those questions are answered, and that's brought rest. Rest is that peace. And we spoke this morning, or on Sunday morning, about Jesus being so prolific in his activity. He was action personified. He was working, 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 but he was always poised, at rest, and at peace. So it's not talking about resting from physical work. It's talking about resting from mental work, emotional work, spiritual work. And so when we get saved, we get that rest in our conscience. And so we need to understand where this performance system came from. Where did it actually originate? Well, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, there was no anxiety about provision. Adam and Eve didn't wake up at 3 a.m. worried about their finances. They didn't have performance reviews with God. They didn't stress about tomorrow because they were living from supply, not from demand, not from their own effort. They were living from God's favor and God's grace, not from the scarcity of trying to survive. Work was worship, not worried. They were not worry. They were sustained by heaven's resources, not earth's limitations. And as I share that story about the family that goes on a picnic to Lake Lanier, and the mum gets up early in the morning and puts food aside, lunch aside, drinks aside, in anticipation, knowing that the children are going to get hungry, they're going to get thirsty. So your heavenly Father wants you to know that you are the apple of his eye and he loves you. This is the biggest revelation we must get if we want to live in grace, that we are loved so, so much. I, Ashley Evans, am loved so, so much that if I was the only person who ever lived, Jesus would have died for me. That was the revelation I got at 17 years of age. I literally had a vision and I saw Jesus looking at me from the cross with eyes so filled with love that I knew it was for me only. And that's the kind of revelation God wants us to get about his love. It's not our love for him, but his love for us that saves us. And so just like the mother prepares ahead, God has prepared ahead for your job, for your finances, for your emotions, for your relationships, for the trouble at home, for everything that you need to live a life of favor and of grace, right? And so the kids wake up excited about going to the lake. They're not stressed about the food. They think mum's going to have some. If they need a drink, mum's going to have some. And that's exactly how God wants us to understand him. The Father knows our need. He knows where we're going. He knows where he wants us to go. And he wants to not only give us rest in our spirit, but as Jesus pointed out, he said, yoke yourself to me and learn from me. So it's a learning experience. You don't get there in a second. It's a learning experience. And it says, then you will find rest. One rest is given, another rest, another peace, another sense of I'm okay. It's all good, God's got it, is found. You will find rest as we learn from him. So because Jesus is grace and grace is Jesus personified, we need to get hold of him. Now, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, not only did they separate themselves eternally from God, but Genesis 3 records the devastating consequences. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. And the curse introduced the performance system that's been killing humanity ever since. Suddenly, everything depended on human effort. The ground became resistant. Life became difficult. Work became toil instead of a joy. The performance system became the default. Do good, get good, work harder, worry more, earn your place, prove yourself, your worth equals your performance, your security depends on your effort. And how many know that this system infected every area of our lives, relationships, our marriage, with our children, work, religion, even our understanding of God? We start believing we must earn his love and prove our worth through performance. Think about this. When you fail God, do you pull back for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days until you feel better and more worthy? You know, Martin Luther said, this is paraphrased, he said, how arrogant are you to think that just because you feel better, that somehow that makes God feel better? In other words, he's saying our righteousness, our attempt to feel better is filthy rags. When God sees me, first of all, he's forgotten what I did wrong because he throws all my sin into the sea of forgetfulness. But number two, he wants you to know that he sees Jesus. When he looks at you, it's called the great exchange. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. And so I need to push in immediately I fail back into relationship. That's how, remember, grace is found connected to Jesus through sin and then through shame. Like Adam and Eve ran and hid, we run and hide till we kind of feel good enough. And God's saying, listen, believe me that despite your sin, even when it's willful, because you've invited me into your life, you have access to me immediately and directly. So please push in and don't retreat. Don't wait till you feel good enough, because you're never going to be good enough. You're only here because Jesus was good enough. And so we need to realize the performance curse that we're living under is the world system that infects and disrupts our entire lives. And so Jesus didn't just come to get us to heaven. He came to dismantle the entire performance system. So if sin brought all these consequences and the opposite of sin is grace, well, grace brought all the antidote. And that's why the law was given through Moses, John 1:17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He's a person, and grace isn't just God's attitude towards you, it's God's war against the performance system. Grace declares that your worth isn't earned, your security isn't self-generated, and your success isn't self-created. That's why Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Who's weary? Are you burdened? Are you trapped in the performance system? He said, if you yoke yourself to me, even today, right now, you will find rest. It's a journey of staying connected to Jesus. His yoke is easy. He's just asking you to be in relationship with him and to worship him. And you will begin to find rest, because you are designed to live from supply, not from demand. But the fall introduced the performance system. Jesus came to disrupt that system. As we journey together, we're going to make that transition. We're going to move from performance stress back to divine supply. And that's exactly what we're going to explore in the next episode, when we talk more about the rest, the peace, the joy, the grace that Jesus offers, and how to live practically in the grace revolution.